Okay. This is the scripture reading. It's from the New Revised Standard Version, which is a little bit different from your pew Bible. We're going to start with Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 15. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." Continuing on in Genesis 21, verses 1 through 7. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would ever have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." And concluding with Mark chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There was a woman, and she had a kindergarten-age son, and she was worried about her son getting to kindergarten safely. You see, he wanted to walk, but he didn't want his mother to walk with him. But she wanted to know that he got there safely. So she had an idea. She thought, "I'll ask the next door neighbor if she'll walk behind him so he doesn't know that she's there, and then I'll know that he got to school safely." So the neighbor woman agreed. She had a toddler and she thought it'd be a good way to get some exercise. So that following week, Timmy would walk to school with his little friend, and the woman would follow some distance behind with her daughter. And at the end of the week, Timmy's little friend said to him, "Timmy, have you noticed there's a lady following us? She's been there every day." And he said, "Yeah." And his friend said, "Well, do you know who she is?" And he said, "Yeah, that's Shirley Goodnest and her daughter Marcy." And the friend said, "Shirley Goodnest and Marcy, who are they and why are they following us to school every day?" And Timmy said, "Well, you see, my mom, she loves me a lot and she worries about me. And every night she says the 23rd Psalm to me, and it says, 'Surely goodness and her daughter Marcy shall follow you all the days of your life.' So I better get used to it." Laughter. In our scripture today, Sarah laughed after she found out that at 99 years old, she was going to be pregnant. I'm not quite sure if at 99 I would have laughed or I would have cried. Laughter is often called the best medicine and is an important part of our lives. So I'm really excited to be able to show a video, a YouTube, so thank you to John. Let's watch a short 2-minute video on the science and possible medical benefits of laughter.
Everybody loves to laugh. In fact, humans laugh an average of 17 times per day. But what is laughter? What makes it happen? And how does it affect us? Webster's Dictionary defines laughter as the expression of mirth, pleasure, derision, or nervousness with a vocal expulsion of air from the lungs, accompanied by characteristic facial and bodily movements. Okay, so what makes this vocal expulsion occur? According to the American Medical Association, it's a neural reaction generated by a synaptic relation in the reticular...
I'll take it from here.
BI science reporter, Tanya Lewis.
Here's how it actually works. The frontal lobe of the brain is responsible for emotional responses. The left side of the brain is responsible for interpreting the words and the structure of a joke. The right side is responsible for identifying what makes it funny. And the limbic system is also important. This area includes the amygdala and the hippocampus and is involved in basic responses like fear or hunger. The motor areas of the brain become active, and these are the areas that actually produce the chuckle or the physical action of laughing.
Thank you, Tanya. Humans are one of the only species on the planet that laughs. Although some scientists have observed laughter in primates during tickling, it hasn't been definitively confirmed. The best thing about laughter? It's good for you. A study by the University of Maryland linked laughter to the healthy function of blood vessels that could lower the chance of a heart attack. Laughter boosts your heart rate and increases the production of antibodies that strengthen your immune system. And according to a Princeton study, laughing is contagious. The sound of it provokes more laughter. That's why sitcoms use laugh tracks. The sound of laughter subconsciously makes us think that whatever is happening is funny. Laughing is healthy. We need it to survive. So keep laughing. It could save your life.
Okay, so we know about the science behind laughter, and we know that it can increase our heart rate so we can burn a few extra calories, lower our risk for heart attack, and increase our immune systems. But when we're laughing, we're not thinking about our left brain or our right brain or our hippocampus. When we laugh, it's a raw release of life. And when Sarah laughed, it was a raw release of her experience that caused her to laugh. So we're going to talk about Sarah and her laughter, but before we get to Sarah, we have to start with Abraham. After all, it was a patriarchal society. So it had been 35 years since God made first the promise to Abraham to give he and Sarah a son. 35 years. He was about 75 when the promise was made, and now he's 99. I can imagine he's having some doubts. I certainly would be. He's pondering all this as he sits in the heat of the day at the entrance of his tent near the Oaks of Mamre. Mamre is an ancient Palestinian forest that's also a religious site. It's north of Hebron, and the fact that the scene occurs here indicates that something really big is going to happen, and indeed, it does. The scripture says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham." So this is a holy encounter in this important place. Abraham sees three guests coming towards him, and despite the heat, he fulfills his cultural responsibility of hospitality and jumps up to meet them and bows deeply. He knows he is in the presence of the Holy One. He offers them some water, some rest, and goes to get his wife to find some food. He also goes to the herd and picks a fine calf for a meal with the guests. As Sarah gets the food going, one of the visitors says, "Where is your wife?" "She's in the tent," responds Abraham. Then one guest responds, saying, "When I come back for a visit, your wife will have a son." Sarah will have a son. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt? Now, it just so happens that Sarah was listening. And when she heard she was going to have a baby, she laughed. She laughed. Why did she laugh? I think Sarah laughed for three main reasons. The first reason is she laughed because of the absurdity of it all. After all, she was 99 years old. I think she laughed because it took so long for God to answer her prayer. And thirdly, she laughed because of God's timing. Now let's take a look at each of these. The absurdity of it all. She laughed because being pregnant when you're 99 years old really was out of the box. And she couldn't get her head around it. Could you? Think of how it must have been for Sarah. And let's go backwards a little bit. In a world where your validity is measured by the amount of children you bear, I can only imagine how many years Sarah had been crying. And I imagine that there was some laughter in there as well to help her get through it all. Author Kurt Vonnegut says that when hard things happen to us, and he says, when hard things happen, when I can't decide whether to laugh or cry, I usually pick laughing because there's less to clean up afterwards. But I can imagine that Sarah cried a lot. But then it happened. She was going to have a baby. I can imagine the disbelief going through her head. And I can also imagine her thinking, this is ludicrous. Really, God? At 99, after all of those years of crying and disbelief? Now? Sometimes the absurdity of God's plan is unimaginable. Yet God comes through on God's promises each and every time. And Sarah's story isn't the only out-of-the-box story in the Bible. What about God telling Noah to go build a big boat? Or what about David, an adulterous murderer, being favored by God? Or what about a man dying on a cross to save all of humanity? Often God's plans are way bigger than we can get our head around. And Sarah laughed because being pregnant at 99 was one of those pretty big things. Delayed answers. There are many times when our timing is different than God's timing. Psalm 37 says, "Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for God to act, and don't fret or worry. It only leads to harm." Wow, that's a pretty strong statement. We're meant to wait. And we're meant to wait and not have anxiety and to be patient. I'm not sure about your life, but in mine, there have been many times that prayers have been answered, but it's taken many, many years. I have a friend, I'll call her Sally, and certainly all the names have been changed, for sure. We've been friends since high school years. She married a man, I'll call him Jay, and he ended up being an alcoholic. Life was very challenging for Sally. And it was heart-wrenching to watch. There was a mixture of brokenness and lack of respect and sadness peppered with accidents and jail. And I would pray that God would provide some sort of pathway through the brokenness for Sally, a way towards happiness and fulfillment. Yet she wouldn't leave. She stayed in that marriage through it all. But then one day, Jay walked out and never came back. And at first, it was horribly painful. It felt like abandonment, and actually, it was. But then as time went on, God's plan was revealed. Sally is now divorced on her own, and after a lot of counseling and internal work, she's an emotionally healthy woman who is happy and is now able to laugh out of joy rather than sadness. It took 15 years for God to answer that prayer of mine. 15 years. Sarah laughed at God's delay in answering. The third reason Sarah laughed was at God's timing. Ecclesiastes 3 says, "For everything there is a season and a reason under the sun, a time to be born and a time to die." And so the scripture goes on and on. And in the end, verse 11a says, "God has made everything beautiful in its time." God has God's own timing, and we're not privy to it. Although we would like to know God's timing, we're called to have faith and wait. Easier said than done. After I'd been married for 15 years, I was so happy to be pregnant. At the time, my stepdad, Joe, had prostate cancer that had spread to his brain. And when he was diagnosed, he had been given 18 months to live. He was like a dad to me, and it was a really difficult time in our family. We frequently went to New York City to Sloan Kettering for experimental cancer treatments. And in the end, Joe was sick for 7 years, and we were spiritually, emotionally, and physically exhausted. I became pregnant in the 6th year of his illness, and I was devastated when I miscarried. Joe died in hospice care on May 20th, 2000. My due date for that child had been May 8th. But this is the interesting timing piece to this story. If I had delivered that baby, I would have delivered on May 8th, a few weeks before Joe died. And it would have been wonderful for that baby to have met Joe, although he was pretty out of it in the end. But we were so tired and spent, as wonderful as a birth would have been, it would have been really challenging. As it happened, I got pregnant again, and in fall of that year, I delivered Robbie. We had time, while Joe was in the dying process, to be completely present to him in his last weeks and months. We gave him all of our time, all of our love, and all of our attention. When he passed, we had time to honor and grieve the process, and space to recover a little. And then, as our first holiday of season approached, around Thanksgiving time, it was our first holiday season without Joe, we had a new baby to help get us through it all. And it wasn't until years later, when I looked back on the situation, that I could appreciate God's plan. It was such incredible timing to have Joe pass, and then in the fall, right before the holidays, to give birth to Robbie. We had time to mourn Joe's loss, get some strength back, and a new gift to help us get through the holidays. And I want to make sure that you understand, I don't believe that God made that miscarriage happen. I don't believe God does bad things to us. It's just not my theology. But I do believe that God can take bad things that happen to us and make good come out of them. I cried at the timing when I had that miscarriage, but God had a plan. And in the end, I smiled at that plan, and the laughter of a new baby helped get us through that situation. Laughter can provide a bridge for us through some pretty difficult times in our lives. Viktor Frankl, have any of you ever read Man's Search for Meaning? Okay. Wally. Okay, so Viktor Frankl is a Jewish psychiatrist and neurologist, and he survived the atrocities of the Holocaust, and actually spent 5 months working in one of the labor camps during the end of the Holocaust, but he was 5 months working in a slave labor camp. And he wrote this, "I would have never made it if I could not have laughed. It lifted me momentarily out of this horrible situation just enough to make it livable." Sarah laughed in the end. But in the end, I believe it was God who had the last smile, and not in the form of a laugh, although I think it was in the form of utter joy and happiness at the sight of Abraham and Sarah with their long-promised son. In Genesis 21, we're told of the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham and Sarah in the form of a baby by the name of Isaac. Isaac is Hebrew for laughter. The birth of Isaac is an eternal reminder to human skeptics of God's promise and God's ability. Our God is a God who works through time and lets relationships grow and transform. Waiting and seeing is both the promise of our faith as well as the frustration of our faith. As evidenced by our story for today, God's story doesn't happen overnight. And the promises are promises, not immediate responses to challenges in our church and in our personal lives. Personally and corporately, we in the church have lived with the complaint that things work so slowly. But that's part of our heritage and part of God's way of working. The story of birth, the birth of a child called laughter, is a promise that takes the long view. How are we, in our lives and in our congregations, living with the long view? How may this long view of God's promises affect us. Maybe rather than looking at our short-term goals, it would be beneficial to trust in God's long-term, developing, growing promise. Remember the words that Rebecca read from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it's impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." And here are these words, those same words, from the Message translation of the Bible. Jesus is speaking, and he says, "No chance at all if you think you can pull all of this off by yourself. But there's every chance in the world if you let God do it." The theologian Reinhold Niebuhr wrote, "Humor is a prelude to faith, and laughter is the beginning of prayer." With Sarah, let us live out our experiences with laughter, and let us think of laughter as the raw release of life experiences and the beginning of prayer. And remember, nothing is too difficult for God, or too out of the box, or too big. God always fulfills God's promises, but it's all in God's time, not ours. Amen. Please take a moment of silent contemplation.